For every business challenge, there's a solution. The Big Small Business Show is made possible by MTN Business.
And by Chartered Accountants of South Africa. Lead your industry with a responsible partner. Partner with the CASA today.
On the menu today,
there's guys that are cutting out off people for 1 or 2 cents just to get the sale. It's not a loyal industry.
And as you see these new activities coming into meetings, you've got to be wholly aware of what you currently have on your plate and what you take onto your back as a task.
What happened is we understood their voice needs, their data needs, their SMS needs, because they were saying, don't ring fence me to a specific thing. If I need to phone a lot, allow me. If I need to use a lot of data, allow me. It's feast or famine.
As entrepreneurs, we are often isolated. Our journeys are pretty lonely. Our problems are our own, and we don't share much about our issues with other people. We're always putting on a veneer of how well things are. Meantime, back at the ranch, we're battling through our struggles as an entrepreneur. And as time goes by, our circles get smaller and smaller, and we become more and more isolated. It's important for us to go and to reach out and look for other entrepreneurs who have gone through similar issues, or reach out to programs such as the Big Small Business Show to remind us of the fact that this struggle is not just ours, it's all entrepreneurs. Let's go meet one of those entrepreneurs who's doing such great things. This is the Big Small Business Show, the show for you, our entrepreneurs, who are going to be building our economy into the future. This is the show for you, our corporate people who are thinking about crossing the line and coming over to our side of the world, to the light side of the force. This is the Big Small Business Show. Now, normally we have a panel here today, but today I'm running solo. No panelists, no Kumar, no Mona Lisa next to me today. It's just me, Stok Steel-Alien, here in studio with our guest today, which is Caleb David. Caleb David is the founder and CEO of Versatile Commodity Traders, and they trade in fuel. Sounds like a tough business. So first of all, welcome. So tell us what you do. What does the business do?
So pretty much we petroleum wholesalers. We try and service clients, or we service clients in the local area.
What does local mean?
Johannesburg? Footprint of South Africa.
South Africa, yeah, right.
So we are able to supply across South Africa, different distribution points, so we, for example, we have distribution points in Cape Town, Johannesburg, Durban, Middelburg, Rustenburg.
So how does the business work? My imagination says that you're on the phone and you're like all these screens and there's prices and then you buy.
It's not trading. So we pretty much wholesalers. So we buy straight from the majors.
Okay.
With the likes of BP, Shell, Engen, Sasol.
Yes.
So because we have the wholesale license, we get wholesale
pricing.
And that gives us the edge to supply end users as well as other wholesalers.
So are there a number of wholesalers in South Africa? Do you compete against other wholesalers?
Yes, for sure. There's quite a few. In fact, there's a lot of wholesale licenses that have been distributed from the Department of Energy. A lot of them are dormant, not in use, but there are, I'd say, not a handful, but there's quite a few big players in the market that are around and people know about, which we compete against.
And why did you get into this business?
It's a funny story. I was actually a financial advisor at Old Mutual before I started. And meeting new clients, meeting different types of people, being a financial advisor, I met someone that tried to be in the fuel industry, told me that he's getting a shipment of fuel coming into the country and he'd like me to supply. Look for some buyers. Being ignorant to the industry, I ran with my tail behind my legs, running around looking for clients, only to find out that there was no supply. So that pushed me to actually get my own wholesale license, start my company, and get my own supply straight from the majors.
The challenges in the industry are unscrupulous competitors.
Look, there's a lot of challenges in the industry with regards to, first of all, getting comfort from the client. I mean, they've given you large amounts of money for truckloads of fuel. So there's a lot of risk of clients just moving over to new suppliers, as well as, yes, there are competitors that are mixing fuel, which have that edge of giving customers cheaper prices. There's guys that are cutting off people for 1 or 2 cents just to get the sale. It's not a loyal industry. Customers can drop you in a second. So your customer is never your customer.
So so what are you currently competing on? Is it relationships?
We pride ourselves in service delivery as well as relationships. We currently have a 24-hour call center. So the client can call our call center at 2 o'clock in the morning. Where's my truck? How far is the truck? We can give them exact coordinates to where the truck is, how long the truck's going to take. We also have depots where if there's a shortage at the majors or sometimes there's no fuel available, we have our own storage facility. So at any time, sometimes we can supply when there's shortages at the majors to our clients. So we have that competitive edge where we rely on supply. So supply on the call, when you need it, we can give it to you.
But as you said, when your client who relies on you, he then gets a price that's a couple of cents cheaper. Mm-hmm.
You get clients that are on for the 1 or 2 cents cheaper, but you get those clients that understand that 1 or 2 cents doesn't matter when you get reliable source of supply.
And do you have contracts? Is the industry designed that you have a contract to supply? Exclusively?
Yeah, we've got a wholesale license, so that.
No, I'm talking about to your end buyer. So if you're supplying a, let's call it a transport company, are these exclusive relationships with them?
Some of them are verbal agreements where clients pay cash up front. Some of them are contract based, where we supply the tanks to the clients at the yard on a 2-year contract just to pay off the tank. So. For example, a client wants a 80,000 liter tank or 83,000 liter tank or 46,000 liter tank in their yard. We can supply to them, and we sign a 2-year contract, and we incur the cost of the tank, and we put it onto the cent per liter price to the client.
And then they're bound to then
for 2 years. After two years, the tank belongs to the client, and they're free to buy from whoever they want.
And do they generally stay with you after that?
Yes.
Okay. So the big issue that we are trying to deal with today, trying to answer today, is, I mean, I'm going to paraphrase here, but in a highly commoditized industry with a very fickle client base who is very price sensitive, how do you compete? Is that the problem statement?
Yeah, look, we compete with, as I said, reliability of product, our integrity. I mean, the client can call us at any time and order. Obviously, we give them some guidelines on when you can order, when you can't order. There's certain time slots where you can and can't. We have generally a 24 to 48-hour leeway time where the client orders till delivery. But with regards to supply, we have supply across South Africa. So it's not just at one depot delivering at one spot. So if a client has a yard in Johannesburg and at Cape Town and Joburg, we can supply to all.
So you're saying that these are some of the solutions, but the problem statement that I said is the problem in the industry. Is that would you say that's a problem we're trying to solve
today?
It's
a big problem, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to have to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Caleb.
Thank you.
This is the Big Small Business Show, and this is our panel section of the business, and this is part two, And today, as you might notice, I'm flying solo. Kumaran and Mona Lisa are not here. And in studio with me, I have Caleb David, who is the founder and CEO of Versatile Commodity Traders. And they trade fuel. They have got a wholesale license. And they trade fuel and got a number of depots across the country. And before the break, we were talking very much about what the problem in the industry was. And I'm just going to repeat that, is that it's a highly commoditized product. Petrol is petrol is petrol. Fuel is fuel is fuel. There are some unscrupulous competitors in the market who mix fuel to get a cheaper mix so that they can compete. And customers are not very loyal. Many customers are not loyal and will move for a couple of cents here and there in order to save money. And that creates a huge issue for a small business in a commoditized space. So let's come back to the business, because you have sold 51% of the business. 49% yeah. of the business to a big player in the market.
Yeah, they're okay. probably the biggest wholesaler in South Africa.
Okay, and why did you do that?
Look, to give me more of a pull in the industry, having them in my back gives me opportunity to give clients 30-day accounts, 60-day accounts. Gives me opportunities to give tanks to my clients. It just helps me supply better, give me a better source of supply as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how recently did you do this deal?
Very recent. It's about 3 months back.
Okay. Yeah. And have you seen any change in?
Yeah, we have about a 300-400% growth with the volumes in the past 3 months from when we started with them, yes.
Okay, because for me, the way that I'm thinking about this, and maybe I'm solutioning now, well, let me not solution, let's go to a couple more questions here. How do you get your clients?
Various ways. So we have reps out there that go out and look for clients, make calls, cold calling, referrals, word of mouth.
Okay, let's talk about those reps for a second. Mm-hmm. How they managed?
So they managed on a monthly basis on volumes they bring. So they are also incentivized on the
Do
volumes.
Do they have a basic? Basic?
Yes, basic and commission.
Okay. Okay. And how do you manage them? So they send in reports. I'm talking about the actual practicality of managing them. Do you meet once a month? Do you meet? Do they have to send in reports? How do you?
Yeah, we meet weekly. So once a week, they do send through reports. We do a report weekly on the volumes they sold, potential clients on the pipeline, what they offered. We get feedback on clients that declined them as well. Why did they get declined? What is the reason? Is it pricing? Is it they're happy with their supplier? So it's pretty much we get the full survey done from them as well.
And how do you find your salespeople? Are they already previously in the industry?
A couple of them weren't in the industry before, so it took some time. For them to get into the industry, learn the lingo, learn how the industry works. It's a very complicated industry. I know it may sound just like, oh, it's just selling fuel, but it's very complicated when it comes to supply and client.
Them?
Yes, we have training.
Yeah, formal training?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have an assessment to know whether they, the one thing to train somebody, there's another thing to know whether they actually understood it.
Yeah, so what we do, we go with them to meetings for the first 10 meetings, see clients, assess them, guide them. For the first 4 or 5 meetings, myself or the managers will handle the meeting, let them just sit in the meeting and understand how we approach clients and how we answer questions. So, yes, we do the actual physical training, then we go and do the practicals with real clients.
Okay. And how do you determine how many salespeople you need? I mean, you've got the whole territory of South Africa. You say you've got 4 or 5 of these salespeople. Mm-hmm. How do you cover the whole of South Africa?
So what we do, we have freelance reps.
Okay.
So we have people that, for example, sell for us, but not on a salary. Yeah. So they just get commission on whatever they bring in.
And they also obviously do that for other wholesalers?
Probably.
And the incentive is whoever gives them the biggest commission?
Biggest commission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a tough industry you're in, because it feels like price.
Everything, it's a very price-sensitive industry, But there's a lot of clients that believe in more reliability of the product. I mean, there are guys that come in at ridiculous prices that are not market related, that no one can supply, and then they'll do it for one or three loads, and then that's it, they're gone. There's also guys that steal money from clients, and so it's a very sensitive industry with regards to knowing your client knowing the supplier, the relationship. It's more of a relationship business than just going to anyone and saying, do you want to buy fuel for me? Here's my bank account details.
Okay. I think I have enough to start summarizing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, I'll try and give some, I don't want to say advice, but maybe some things to think about for Caleb, so that he can take that back into his business. This is the Big Small Business Show, and this is our panel section today. This is part three, where I'm about to give a summary to Caleb David, who is the CEO and founder of Versatile Commodity Traders. They trade in fuel, a highly commoditized product in an industry that's complex and price sensitive, and has very little loyalty in the business. Caleb recently sold 49% of his business to one of the biggest wholesalers in the country, if not the biggest, and that has resulted in a 300-400% growth in his revenues over the last couple of months since he's done the deal. So, Caleb, I just want to give you maybe some background. As part of what we've done at Raise Corp, I've actually worked with a fuel trader before.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some little insight. It was a couple of years ago, so my memory's a little bit rusty. But we built a small business into a $750 million trading business. That's how big the trading was. And I'm going to try and I was trying to write down during the break some of the sort of the strategic points which we focused on,
mm-hmm.
and try and share that with you too. So let me you saw me very much focusing on the sales area,
mm-hmm.
and to me the Let me jump and tell you a little bit of another story, and then I'll relate it, mm-hmm. back to here. When the advertising director for Nike and was asked by Shell, if it's ironically it's Shell, how to make people come to their forecourts,
mm-hmm.
and this is not in South Africa, this is in the US, versus anyone else's. He said, make your toilets sparkling, your bathroom sparkling. It's nothing to do with the fuel, because petrol is petrol is petrol.
Mm.
Okay. But people will come to a forecourt or to a petrol station, and if there's a reputation for clean toilets, if they've got a choice between X and Y, they will say, I might as well go to that one, it's cleaner. So the answer was not actually in the fuel, it was actually in the bathrooms. And why I'm telling you that is because, to me, very much in the wholesale space, there's a couple of places that are not in the fuel. It's not about the fact that my fuel is better than your fuel, or my service is better than your service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it lives, in my opinion, in a different place for you to think. And it's in an obvious place in most businesses, but people don't focus there. So to me, it's about the sales team.
Mm-hmm.
And the efficiency in the sales team. So your first place port of call is your sales team, and the efficiency of that sales team. So let's talk about your sales team as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't have the details. We haven't spent enough time. But let's say you had 5 salespeople, and they were all calling on 20 people a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you were able to move that 20 to 30 a week. An increase of 50%, and you were managing your closing rate. Okay, then the amount of fuel you would close or you would sell would be higher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the ability to sell is a function of the salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how and their relationships and their and their, but they're also their productivity. When in certain industries when you're so price sensitive, we forget the efficiency around the sales team.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that if I get a better sales team, then we're competing. The sales team is your, is, and it's a terrible analogy, but is your bathroom in the mm-hmm. example before.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've got a shit-hot sales team that is efficient, professional, out there, and doing better than your competitor's sales team,
mm-hmm.
that's the difference. Okay. It might be marginal, but in your business, everything is marginal.
Mm.
Okay. So for me, if I were you right now, I'd become obsessed with managing salespeople. I'd go to every single course on sales management. I'd read every book on sales management. I would make sure that, that's why I was asking, how often do you manage them, that weekly meeting?
Mm.
What's that about?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get these salespeople from? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How professional are they? Like, how is their reporting? Because if you can squeeze out an extra efficiency out of that,
mm-hmm.
then you can open up your sales pipeline. The second thing around the sales is your sales training. And many businesses make the mistake within a sales environment is that they train their salespeople. Okay? And even might do what you do is go and see them sell. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they aren't performance. But you said before that your business is very complex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's nuanced. It's not just about buying fuel for R1 and selling it for R1.02.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that. It's far more complex than that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very important, that you can get somebody up to speed as quickly as possible. So the training is one element, and I'd go to the sales training and go and say, go with the mindset of, this is crap. This is like, even if it's good, it's crap. How do I make it better?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then I train them. But is my training methodology the right way? Should mm-hmm. should I train them for a week, or should I train them for 4 weeks, one day a week with some? Do I have an exam at the end to see that they understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which I would highly recommend. Or do I observe them on a regular basis as a process? What do I do? So the second element now is around finding the right salespeople and then managing them the training more mm-hmm. more efficiently. Okay, so that's on the sales side. The second element that I'd focus on is going to be around the comms, the communication to your clients.
Okay.
Top of mind, making sure that they're aware of everything that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Very often in a commodity business, because it's a commodity, once again, the bathroom example,
mm-hmm.
we forget that comms could be the difference. That if it's top of mind and I need fuel and I've just received a thing that, you know, the indications are that the fuel price is going to drop or go up,
yeah.
etc. from VC trading, if VC traders, then I'm just going to call Caleb now because you're top of mind. So
mm-hmm.
don't underestimate the power of communication and how often you do it. Too often is bad, too little is bad. You have to find the right
mm-hmm.
sweet spot for that. The last point here, which I think you've hit the nail on the head, is by selling 49% to get a big brother. In this industry, this is actually not in the fuel industry. You're in the finance business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the business you're in.
Yeah.
Now, once you reframe yourself that I'm in the finance business, okay, not in the fuel business,
mm-hmm.
okay, then it's a different story. It's the old McDonald's story. That McDonald's are not in the burger business.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the property business.
Mm-hmm.
You need to reframe and say, I'm in the finance business. So what you've effectively done now in terms of getting a big brother is actually you've got a balance sheet and you've got bulk behind
mm-hmm.
you,
mm-hmm.
and now you can finance 30 days, 60 days, etc., which is a finance business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're a 100%. Funding business. You
yeah.
happen to be funding fuel, but you're in a funding business.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to become obsessed around understanding funding and the nuance of funding, because funding is not just as simple as, well, what's an interest rate on top of
mm-hmm.
that. There's if Kumaran was sitting next to me, he would come in here and he would say, think about this, 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 and this. So
mm-hmm.
you need to be thinking about going to become an expert in finance, because, Caleb, you are not in the fuel wholesale business. You are in the finance business. So I hope I've given you some food for thought, and I hope you out there who are watching this are trying to apply some of this thinking to your business, where you think you're in one business, but in fact, you're in another. You think that the solution is in selling a better product, but in fact it's something completely different to what you think, where the actual leverage points are to increase your business. Stay tuned to see what's coming up after the break.
clearly, having too many ideas is bad, not just for yourself, but for the organization.